This is CliffCentral.com.
This morning I really struggled to get out of bed because first of all it was cold, and second of all I was having such a nice fat sleep. When my alarm went off, it really felt like my whole head had shattered.
Yeah, so cry in the shower time.
Yeah, so if that's how you're feeling, it's not just you, don't worry. I'm a bit slow with this Netflix thing. I've watched Always Be My Maybe. I laughed and laughed and laughed for like 30 minutes after the Tom Ford scene. Ali Wong, what a brilliant writer and comedian. Okay, I haven't seen Always Be My Maybe. Must check that out.
Adding it to my list.
Yeah, so many. I've got a list and it keeps on being updated. And every time I tick off a series or a documentary or whatever, then there's 10 more. And
it's so hard to keep up.
It's amazing. Like, this is a pressure we don't need. You know, you can choose not to have this pressure.
Yeah. I think, no, it's a nice pressure.
Aye, aye, aye. I'm not sure. And I've got to watch The Last Tsars. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Okay. Someone else wants to know. How do you curb the five devices? This is interesting. This is from Cassandra earlier, who said that Netflix have a limit of five. How do you curb it? It's five devices. So TV, computer, tablet, and phone. That's already four.
I didn't know it was different devices for Netflix. I thought it was just a password.
No, apparently it's you've got a maximum of five.
Okay, because that means I'm doing something illegal.
No, Cassandra says you're a moron. All right, what's going on in the world? Let's find out what's happening. Let's catch up this Monday so we can all know what's really happening.
Okay, so picture this creature.
Oh, it's a creature story.
Okay.
A whale.
Okay.
With four legs.
What?
Mm-mm.
Mm. And hooves.
A whale with four legs.
And hooves.
I'm trying to picture
this. Trotting along the ocean floor. And then this is what's been found along the coast of Peru, a fossil of this creature. Which is obviously gigantic in size. It's also 42.6 million years old.
Okay, so it's not alive anymore.
No.
Oh.
But
God, I just pictured being eaten by one of those.
Well, the thing is, it could walk on land, so this was quite scary.
It's like amphibious,
like
so. It came out of the sea, and then it would
came
walk.
Out of the sea. It could walk on land as well,
and then trot and eat you.
Yes. So
and a whale,
like the ultimate monster.
It was adapted for semi-aquatic lifestyle.
Hey. They're doing a new Kong versus Godzilla movie.
Oh, yes.
I think it's in 2020. That's when they're planning to release it. And you know, they've got these, I think there's that Godzilla one, which is coming out soon, or it's already out, I don't know. And then there was the Kong Skull Island last year.
Mm.
People love these monster movies, but this thing trumps all of these monsters.
Could be the new franchise.
A whale with hooves that trots out of the water and comes onto the land to eat you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is
and
horrible.
Do you know how big its legs need to be to bear the weight of its
4-meter-long
body? Well, there's like an artist's impression, but what I find interesting is that in the image, it's got webbed feet, not hooves.
Well, it looks like a wolf without ears and these long webbed feet, but they look like hooves as well. And then it's got this big whale-like body. Oh, it's just scary.
Yeah.
Horrible thing. We've got to save that and show Gord.
It looks quite smiley. It is about to eat a whole fish.
And by a whole fish, we mean one the size of the studio.
Yeah.
So, a couple of million years ago, they didn't do things small.
See, I don't understand how these feet work, because this story also says webbed feet, similar to an otter, suggesting it was a strong swimmer. But it had hooves as well.
It's the hooves part that knocks me out.
I can't picture it.
Hoof.
And this thing lived both in water and on land.
Yep.
Eating everything in its path.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So apparently, there are older and smaller whale ancestors with four limbs that have been discovered previously, but this latest specimen fills in a crucial gap in knowledge about how the creatures evolved and spread throughout the world's oceans.
No, I'm so glad I'm alive now.
I wonder what happened to it.
Yeah, imagine how much harder life would have been if you'd been born 46 million years ago. You had to deal with these things.
You are running away from this. It will follow you into the water.
Okay, it explains a little further here. So it did have the webbed feet, but it had little hooves on its fingers and toes.
That actually sounds manky.
Imagine him like tapping on the desk, you know.
Those were like its fingernails.
Yeah, underneath the webs. That's really gross. Like these horny outgrowths. Sharp teeth, long snout. It may have eaten fish or crustaceans.
Oh, and humans.
And probably, well, I don't know. Were humans around then?
No,
they weren't.
No, but if we were, we would have been eaten.
What are they speculating, I wonder? Are they speculating that this creature just evolved into the modern-day whale that we now know? Or did it just become extinct?
Well, what it's telling them is that the first whales would have crossed the South Atlantic, helped by westward surface currents, and the fact that at the same time, the distance between Peru and the nearby continent would have been half of what it is today, because the world has changed and plates have shifted, yeah. But yes, so it's being named Perigocetus Pacificus.
Very nice.
Meaning the whale, the traveling whale that reached the Pacific.
Just one more time.
Perigocetus Pacificus.
Ah, that just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Well, jarring on the lips. But
have you ever heard of something called the Atlas Bear?
No.
The Atlas Bear was this thing that used to live in Africa. We used to have bears in Africa. It was terrifying.
As if we didn't have enough.
Yeah, listen, if you go back and you look at some of the fossils they've discovered of creatures that used to live long before we were here, and even some of the ones that we kind of overlapped with, there's a lot of stuff that would have killed and eaten us.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We've chosen a good time to be around. Lions are like absolute nothing compared to some of these monsters that lived in the past. These Atlas bears, huge, by the way, and could stand up on its back legs and be twice as tall as the tallest human being. Big claws. Very scary. And look that up. And that used to live here.
Yeah, because we don't have any bears that are indigenous to you.
We used to. I think we hunted them out, or they killed us.
Okay, so the Atlas
bear...
Very
bushy, according to these impressions.
Yeah.
Not good looking.
Apparently it occurred between Morocco and Libya. And it's now thought to be extinct.
But there might be one lurking in your basement.
No. Could find one like the baboon in Northcliffe last week.
Right, exactly. Don't be so sure that they're extinct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I wonder
you hear about
baboon's been found.
These creatures that could and would and want to eat us. In the past. All right. Enough about that. You're giving people fear on a Monday morning. A whale with hooves, please. Enough already.
Little fingernail hooves.
Yes. Terrifying. Uh-oh. All right, what else do you want to know about this one? Let's see. Could I ask you about Instagram's grisly human skull trade?
See, this is what I was afraid of. It's not much of a nicer story. It's actually quite scary.
Yeah?
So this whole thing started 7 years ago. A guy named Henry Scragg from Essex,
yes,
a 28-year-old gardener, he'd been collecting and hoarding a whole lot of oddities for a number of years. And he stumbled across this interesting collection on eBay. It was a box containing 12 human skulls.
Excuse me?
And a hyena skeleton.
That sounds good.
He placed the bid and he won.
So sure.
He...
Are you all right? Is this upsetting
really
you?
Really affected by the story.
I can tell.
Having never owned human remains before, Scragg unpacked the delivery with some trepidation, but when he held the skulls in his hands, mm-hmm. he was struck by the beauty of the bared teeth, devoid, and the eyes devoid of all life. Yes. He arranged the craniums, took some photos, and of course uploaded them onto Instagram.
Sure, of course.
Adding the hashtags skull, skeleton, and curiosity.
Right.
That started 7 years ago, and now his Instagram account has over 33,000 devoted followers. Mm-hmm. It's a small but active network of buyers and sellers who trade human remains on Instagram.
So you're not allowed to? I mean, what's the rule here? Because I know people who've got like glass skulls, and I've got a couple of little like Mexican skulls that are painted, mm-hmm. but they're not skulls.
They're not real bone.
Yeah, these are real.
Are you not allowed to own these?
So pre-2016, if you were in the market for human remains, eBay was your go-to website, so you mm-hmm. really could get them there.
Sure,
but then the site only then banned the sale of human body parts,
okay.
with the exception of scalp hair.
Ooh, that's Goodbye. Much more gross than a skull.
And now Instagram has taken
over. You can buy scalp hair on eBay, but you can't buy a skull?
So now you can buy them on Instagram.
How's this legal? Because where are you getting these skulls?
Exactly. Who knows?
This is so twisted.
So if you're looking at the sales figures of this trade on Instagram, in 2013, sales totaled $5,000, but by 2016, that had risen to $57,000.
So it's not huge. It's not a massive thing. You know, we always get we blow these things out of proportion. It's not like a million people are suddenly trading human remains. It's only $57,000. In total, the total trade?
They're like special collectible, you know, skulls that they aren't just fresh skulls from bodies.
It's like old historical
They're ancient,
stuff.
Like this one that I'm looking at is from New Guinea.
Yep.
And it's like a tribal artwork.
Listen, people were buying and selling and sharing and throwing around Oliver Cromwell's head for years. Pulled it off a spike in London somewhere.
Oh, my word.
The reason why around. I don't understand why something like this is legal and hasn't been an issue yet is because you don't stumble across a skull.
You do, actually. They're all over the place.
Well, Gareth, when last did you stumble in?
Well, if you look at under the streets of Paris, they're the catacombs, which are chock full of human remains. Chock full. There are thousands of skulls, millions even.
Oh my
gosh. Under the streets of Paris. If one or two of those went missing, and I don't think you're allowed to take them, I don't think anyone would even notice. Mm. And you could quite easily find an old graveyard that's like hundreds of years old. And you could find a skull. I mean, people find them in rivers.
This would be so twisted.
If it's really old and it isn't suspicious, and you could see that it's either fossilized or... I reckon you'd be able to find these things everywhere.
Mm. Well, here's a little bit of the legality behind it.
Yeah.
So there are some illicit markets on Instagram, for sure, like exotic animals, looted antiquities, and weapons.
Yeah.
But there's nothing explicitly illegal about trading human remains on the platform. In the UK, human bones fall under the no property rule in common law. That essentially means that they belong to whoever happens to be in possession of them. No paperwork required to prove their provenance. And while displaying human remains publicly requires a license from the Human Tissues Authority, this isn't the case for posting photos online.
Wow. All right. Well, there we go, you crazy lunatics.
Go ahead. There are too many loopholes there for many crazy a lunatic. What's the definition of publicly? So I could frame a skull and keep
it would be
in my dining room.
Or maybe in your office. Yeah, why don't you try?
Do you guys understand how many people will go around killing people and this is just the best way to get out of not being caught?
No, but again, these skulls are identifiable as like tribal art.
It seems a bit too dodgy for me.
Yeah. Here's something from Cindy. She says, we've got a mummified head of Sir Oliver Plunkett in a big church here in Ireland. Everyone visits this head. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, Oliver Plunkett.
Fine.
Yeah, go and check out the head of Oliver Plunkett.
Oh, no.
Yes, man. All right, look, it's not my seed. Now, I suppose if people want to do this, that's fine. You're going to go and collect skulls. If you'd spend thousands of dollars on skulls, you go ahead. I like the decorative ones. I don't want actual skulls. It's a bit freaky.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see putting these things in my lounge.
All right. Yeah. This is amazing. Here's something someone wants to argue with us this morning. This is from Taryn. She says, I'm surprised with your view on how politicians can really screw up a country. What? You don't agree? Who else has more chance of screwing up a country than politicians? Anyway, she goes on. Your top-rated show has not got The Handmaid's Tale front and center. It's exhilarating and scary at the same time, leaving you on the edge of your seat after every episode. I think Taryn's maybe telling us to watch The Handmaid's Tale. Anybody seen that?
Oh, yes. Avid follower. Oh, yeah. It's brilliant. It's my favorite show.
More than Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Handmaid is the New Black. Okay, and then somebody has a serious question here, so let's try and address this as best we can. I don't know if we're the right people to help you, but let's try anyway. Put on your serious cap. Okay. This is from Tumelo. Morning, guys. I hope you had a good weekend. Have you ever had a close person tell you that they wanted to commit suicide? One of my friends yesterday admitted to us he really feels like the world deserves better. I can't get into the details. Why? Because I feel like I would betray him. How have you handled this, and what advice would you give us as a group of friends who are trying to help him? Right. I'm not in any position to help you.
I've been in that position.
You have. Mm. Then go ahead. You start.
So it was probably about two or three years ago. He was a newly made friend. I knew him from online. And we struck up a friendship, our paths crossed, and we started working on clients together and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And he, over time, it was revealed to me that he was living in a hotel in Cape Town, in like a dodgy part of Cape Town. And in exchange for his stay there, he was tweeting and periscoping and doing whatever with the hotel. He had absolutely no money, etc. He's also previously he had suffered with bipolar disorder, and after a trauma
PTSD,
thank you, from child abuse issues. He was abused by his mum, and still, as a grown man, has never got over this. And he's known for manipulating people into giving him money, etc. I often sent him money so that he had money to go on a bus or for his phone, for phone data. And this just got more and more intense over time. And he would bend my ears so many times on the phone for hours at a time about how he didn't want to live anymore. And I myself was going through a great deal of depression at the time, and it was bringing me down. It was really difficult to deal with, and it got to the point where he had decided he would commit suicide on New Year's Eve. He wrote an online letter explaining that this is what he was going to do. And I think he was checking to see if people cared by doing this.
It's a bit of a cry for help.
Yes. But if I tell you, it got to the point where he told me so many times he was going to do it. I eventually said, then do it.
Wow. Let me guess, he never did.
It was out of my control.
He never did, right?
Well, I woke up on New Year's Day knowing, I was sort of 90% sure that he wouldn't.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he didn't.
Yeah. Well, there's...
And he's still around.
You know what? Tumelo, I'm the wrong guy to ask about this, because even Leanne just telling me this story about this asshole, just I'm so unsympathetic.
Yeah.
And when people talk like that, you know, the experts will say to you that very seldom do the ones who actually want to commit suicide ever tell anyone. They just get on and do it. But I would say to your friend, go and seek some help, because...
Yeah. Definitely.
We're not professionals, and there are people who can, you know, SADAG is probably a good place to start, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. There's some very good people there who will address the concerns
And if they don't want to,
no, you can take a horse to water.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I've
just called, never carry the guilt.
I've called SADAG for a friend once before, but actually, Leanne, you gave me a piece of advice that I still hold true to this day. You once said, "This we have to look at mental health and mental wellness the same way we look at any sort of other disorder that you might be going through. If your friend is going through cancer, you aren't, as a friend, expected to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that if they're going through something mentally, we're expected to heal them? Go to a doctor, send to someone else.
The onus does not lie on you.
Yeah. You can only be a friend to a certain extent, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then someone else brings up, Lauren says, you've got to watch this I Love You Now Die on Showmax, which I've heard is also kind of about this suicide stuff, where it's about a woman who drives a partner to commit suicide or attempt it or whatever. Yeah, not my kind of show, huh?
Yeah,
I'd rather watch Sharknado 6 than that, frankly.
And totally the opposite.
Yeah, I can't watch that.
Or whale with four legs and hooves.
Yeah.
Graham says, Handmaid's Tale is just a pro-abortion group to justify infanticide and government-funded abortions. The idea is if you're not allowed to abort your child, then the government is forcing you to make people. Yeah, you were forced to have unprotected sex and get pregnant. Ha ha, please. So clearly, Graham, not a fan of the Handmaid's Tale.
Not a fan. Oh, okay.
No. All right. And then someone else says, there's something in the stars this week, something about eclipse with Venus. Everybody knuckle down. Else, if all fails, call Lifeline, and they still could help. Yeah.
Mm.
That's from Ruth. Wow, Ruth. Eclipse with Venus.
There's also a meteor that's apparently headed our way.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Another one?
I saw the story last week. I'm trying to recover it. But apparently this happens a lot. People aren't really, you know, that it's
never
really
discussed.
Is it
another prediction that the world is ending and we need to freak out now?
This has been like a cry wolf. Talk about your friend who kept saying you'd commit suicide.
From 2012.
These meteors who keep threatening us. Like, ooh, we're coming right at you. Why don't you just do
hang
it?
On.
Why don't you stop telling us and just do it, huh?
Asteroid that had a chance to hit Earth in September is a no-show.
Typical flaky millennial meteor.
The heading just before that, the one that got me, was hazardous asteroid 2006 QQ23 might hit Earth next month!
Oh, please. Who do you believe anymore? It's ridiculous. I'm not scared of you, asteroids.
Obviously, our early warning meteor impact system is not working very well.
It's really bad. Someone hasn't checked the calibration.
Oh, dear.
All right. I mean, if we're going to go, there's not going to be much time to do anything. It's not like that movie Armageddon.
No, you can't pack your favorite teddy bear and get into your car and drive off somewhere.
No, there's nowhere safe. You just got to hang in there and wait for it to hit.
Close your eyes and say your last words.
Yes. Okay, Cindy also says, Handmaid's Tale is fantastic. Mm. I tell you all, my TV all the way. I yell at my TV all the way. It's not easy viewing. Most uncomfortable, in fact, but gripping, says Cindy.
You're very uncomfortable.
Gareth, you got the saying wrong. It's, you can take a horse to water, but a pencil must be lead. Thank you, Carl. All right, very nice. Mm. How about this for something interesting? Crime is obviously a reality in South Africa. We've sadly become accustomed to it as people who live here. We even heard this morning that bees are victim to crime. Bees who make honey. People are stealing the beehives and the honey in the beehives, and they're killing the bees. Now, unless you've been a recent victim of crime, you've probably never thought about this, but it's probably worth thinking about. Life is hard for many people. Not only are we trying to just make it through the day on a physical and emotional level, dealing with our own issues, but now we need to add so many additional factors, including crime, into this equation. I just want to read something to you before we go to Glynis. Glynis Depper is one of the leading counselors and psychologists at an organization called Lifeline Western Cape, and she's going to join us in a moment to tell us about the effects of crime. But I want to read something off a friend of mine's Facebook, because this I thought was very, very interesting. So this guy was walking home the other night, and it wasn't the dodgiest part of Cape Town, but it wasn't exactly, Cape Town, listen, I had a phone stolen off of me last year in Cape Town. Anyway, he was walking home, and there was this dude following him, and he thought, this is a bit suspicious. So he put on some speed. He walked a little faster, crossed the road. This guy carried on following him, so he knew what was coming.
Mm.
And he basically preempted the whole thing by rushing at this guy and punching him right in the head.
Oh, wow.
Knocked him out cold and then ran as quickly as he could because he knew what was going to happen. I mean, this guy was obviously after, you know, him and trying to rob him and whatever. So he knocked him out and ran away and, you know, he got away with it and he got home and his adrenaline was pumping and took him a while to get to sleep, obviously, but he did, I think, the right thing.
Yeah.
There was some kind of confrontation coming and he preempted it by going at this guy first.
Yeah.
And he got away.
If I was brave enough to do that, I would.
But this is maybe the stress that we're talking about, and I want to ask Glynis what she thinks of that story in a second. But let's find out from Glynis Depper what we can do about this, because a lot of people are going through huge amounts of stress because of the crime situation. Glynis, is there a general problem with people's levels of stress and anxiety, and is that compounded by crime?
Hi, morning, Garrett.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, remember Oscar Pistorius spoke about GAD, General Anxiety Disorder.
Yes, none of us really took him seriously because we were more interested in whether he was guilty or not, but he made a point, right?
Yeah, and I think we all have that to a certain degree, every single one of us,
mm-hmm.
because it's such a kind of gradual thing that has, you know, crept up on us, and it's part of daily life. So it manifests in broken relationships, in abuse, you name it. But we're not aware of it. You know, it's an extraordinary stress to our normal day-to-day stresses.
Yeah. I'm curious, have you done some work with particular individuals who've fallen victim to crime or people who are just nervous and anxious about it the whole time? How does it manifest?
Well, somebody who's been a victim of crime obviously will have the classic post-traumatic stress symptoms, which are sort of flashbacks, jumpiness, you know, not able to kind of relax, just a constant feeling of tension, looking over your shoulder, feeling insecure,
mm-hmm.
you know, being vigilant, keeping the doors locked, etc. It's enormous. And it affects us, as I said, across the board, every single one of us in this country, one way or the other.
What about this idea?
And it's not normal.
This idea of guilt. People feel guilty about having been the victim of a crime, like they could have done something about it before it had happened.
Yes, there's always, you know, looking back and saying, I should have.
Yeah.
I should have screamed, or I should have run. Or, you know, yes, you do. You tend to go over it and over it and over it, and how could I have done it better? And that's part of the trauma. And that's what we do at Lifeline. A lot of trauma counseling, which has escalated a lot over the last couple of years.
So what happens when someone calls Lifeline and they've gone through a traumatic thing like this? How do you guide them through it, and what are the first steps?
The first step is to get them to tell their story so that they can get it out there, you know, in absolute detail. You know, tell me what happened. You know, how did you cope? What did you do? Is there anything you would have liked to have done instead? So that the story is out there. It's a form of relief. And then talk about, you know, the symptoms and make the person understand that they're going to have these feelings of unease. For at least, you know, well, it's not a good idea to put a timeline on it, but just so that they know that they're not actually losing it. This is normal to have these feelings after such an event.
Now, Glynis, you've been the chairperson of Lifeline and Childline in the Western Cape, and you've been a member of the organization for over 30 years. You're a counselor and a trainer, and you obviously care about the business of people and their healing. How do you get yourself emotionally capable in a situation where you have to help other people? I mean, don't you sometimes feel like you're constantly losing energy to other people who need it so much more? And how do you replenish your well?
We have a very, very detailed training that we all have to undergo and graduate from that. And that training is how to have personal boundaries, how to de-roll after a session. And we have an amazing support system within the organization where, you know, we support one another. You kind of get better at it as you go along. You know, you have to have a good deal of self-awareness. And, you know, this is where I sort of end and this is where you start. So it does spill over into our lives. But as I said, we have an amazing support system where we meet regularly to talk about what's happening to us and the spillover that we might be carrying.
Do you have enough counselors? Where do you find counselors?
We don't. We never have enough counselors. We are all volunteers, and the spirit of volunteerism is no longer as possible as it was. You know, people can't do stuff for nothing anymore. We're all busy. We all need to earn a living.
Yeah.
So yes, we're always looking for counselors, and we advertise our training courses extensively throughout South Africa.
Everybody
should do the Lifeline course.
How many counselors do you have at the moment?
At the moment in Cape Town, we have about 120.
And what are most
The shelf life.
Yes, the shelf life?
You know, as you can imagine, the shelf life of a counselor is limited because there is a cost to us. So there's a turnover all the time, except for mad people like old people like me who've just kind of found it so rewarding that I'm still hanging in there. Yes.
What are the majority of the calls that you get?
Funnily enough, they are always relationship based, because everything manifests in our relationships. You know, I will scream at my children when I'm trying to get them to get to school safely. I'll be so worried about, you know, them arriving at school in one piece and not being mugged or pushed off their bicycle or whatever. I might be very short-tempered with them in the morning, trying to get them ready. So the thing is to be aware that we've got this outside stressor and try to separate it out of our normal day-to-day stresses, which is what we kind of preach at Lifeline, to just be aware that I'm carrying a whole lot of extra abnormal stress, and I need to focus on the things that are important to me and my relationships. It's so subtle.
Yeah, it's probably something that we need to have written down everywhere so that we can keep reminding ourselves of it.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, listen, keep doing the good work that you're doing at Lifeline. You can find out more by going to LifelineWC, that's westerncape.org.za. You can also you can contact them at info@lifelinewc.org.za. And Glynis, keep up the good work.
Could I give you our crisis number?
Sure, of course.
It's 021. 461-1111.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good to talk to you. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye. I hope that wasn't depressing for you, Leanne.
Unfortunately, it exists, and we need to know this information.
Yeah, you know what?
It's what happens.
And people are going through huge amounts of shit, and people are having terrible time, and there's pressure, and there's anxiety, and there's stress, and there's crime, and there's all kinds of shit happening around. You need to have a place where you can talk to somebody. You might not have someone in your life you can talk to.
It sounds a little bit naggy if you carry on and on about, oh, God, the crime.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Yeah, it gets annoying.
But it's scary, man. It sits with you.
But listen, just from this morning with Tumelo messaging about his friend, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's happening.
People need to know. Well, people gotta know.
Absolutely. Here's something really important. This is from Ruth. She says, it's day 284 without sex. I went jogging in flip-flops just to remember the sound.
Oh, girl. Oh.
See, there are different ways of getting over your stress and anxiety.
Girl, I wouldn't suggest that for anyone.
No.
Oh, shame. Can I give you three stories that are proudly brought to you by the Department of Tourism in Florida?
Yeah, of course you can. Florida, by the way, is this nutcase state in America where all the crazy people go.
And most stories start with a Florida man or a Florida woman.
Exactly. So let's go.
So I'm sure this is absolutely going to boost tourism in the state. So let's start with the first of three.
Okay.
A drunk Florida man tried teaching his five-year-old son to swim, well, by tossing him into the Atlantic Ocean.
And what happened?
He got arrested. The man proceeded to do backflips off a nearby pier as his boy struggled to stay afloat.
Oh, that's horrible. He threw the kid into the sea.
I was just like, yeah, you'll figure it out. He's 37 years old. His name is John Bloodsworth. And when he was finally apprehended by cops, he says, well, I don't care. I'm going to jail for being awesome.
Wow.
Local officials stated that there were no lifeguards that were on duty at the time. And there were like quite a few rip currents in this. And swimming in the area where they were goofing off is actually prohibited. So that's part of why he was arrested. Hmm. But John says actually he could not have thought of a better place to teach his son how to swim.
Throw
him off
father.
The edge of a cliff.
What a horrible father.
What in him? I mean, isn't your instinct to take the child into the water with you and go,
nah,
look at the water, make sure it's happy.
Just throw them straight in there. He was charged with aggravated abuse of a child, resulting in physical or mental injuries, disorderly intoxication, and swimming within 300 feet of the pier. He was reportedly just released from jail after $1,500 bail.
Back he goes.
Second story to boost tourism in Florida. This is great.
Move to Florida, everybody.
A Florida man allegedly used a pair of scissors to cut off his wife's lover's penis.
Just with a pair of scissors, hey? They must have been pretty hefty scissors.
Yeah. Or a very small penis.
49-year-old Alex Bonilla is accused of committing this act on the man. This man, who, by the way, is also his neighbor. While the victim's two kids were home last Sunday, the victim told police that Alex Bonilla attacked him at gunpoint, threatening to kill him if he resisted. And once inside the neighbor's bedroom, Alex allegedly tied up the victim and attacked him. He then fled the scene with the man's detached penis.
Can you imagine?
That's always what I find weird is why do they take the penis with them? Like Lorraine and Bobbitt did the same thing when she cut off her husband's penis all those years ago. They take it with them. What's that all about?
Lying next
I mean,
to
who would want to carry a bloody cut-off penis home with them? What are you going to do with that? Put it in a stew?
Alex Bonilla had caught his wife and the neighbor having sex last May, according to the police report. And so far, he's been charged with aggravated assault, cruelty towards a child, and burglary. It's unclear, unfortunately, if doctors were able to reattach the victim's penis.
I wonder if it grows back.
No, Leanne, it's not a piece of hair.
Not an earthworm.
No, it doesn't happen like that. And third and final story that I think will definitely boost tourism in Florida. The town of West Palm Beach in Florida is employing a very creative technique to stop its homeless population from sleeping in a park overnight. They are now blaring annoying children's songs on loop, including Baby Shark.
They're going to do that to homeless people? As if
they've already started to do
homeless
that.
Homeless people don't have a hard enough life, now they have to listen to Baby Shark.
And it's working. So apparently in this one particular park, there's this pavilion patio setup where a lot of homeless people like to go in and spend the night.
Yeah.
And so now they've figured out this system to keep some homeless people away. They have some speakers that are set up in this patio, and so far they've blaring Baby Shark on loop. They're actually proud to say this. The Parks and Recreation Director, Leah Rockwell, says it has been effective and is a temporary measure to make the area accessible for those who have rented the facility and for future events.
You sure are funny, man.
Problem is, where are these homeless people going to go to?
They can't escape Baby Shark.
Yeah. And they really are leaving. They're saying, we are not forcing individuals to stay on the patio of the pavilion to listen to the music. The music is heard only if you are on the patio, a very small area relative to the rest of the park.
Look, I would, if I found homeless people sleeping in my lawn, I'd put on the sprinklers. But then I'm not a nice person.
Yeah.
And those are three heartwarming stories to make you go, Florida.
Florida.
What a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're in Costa Rica, you should stay away from the booze.
Oh, why?
What happened there?
The country is on alert after 19 people died from tainted alcohol.
Oh. I'm warning you with peace and love.
So about 30,000 bottles have been confiscated. The alcohol is now... Gareth, maybe you can help out with the chemicals here.
Yeah.
Is this something that occurs naturally, or would someone have to have done something to make it like this? The alcohol is tainted with potentially toxic levels of methanol.
Yes, methanol's the stuff they put in methylated spirits. Methyl alcohol is methanol. It's CH4OH.
So it's not something that naturally occurred where these... No,
you don't want, you can't drink methanol. Methanol's very poisonous. In fact, the reason that they make meths purple is because it contains a bit of methyl alcohol and a bit of ethyl alcohol. But people can drink ethyl alcohol. It's just not great. It's also poisonous for you in very concentrated form. So what they do is they put methanol with it and they color it purple so that homeless people won't drink it. But obviously, this is what they're doing to water down the ethyl alcohol. Mm. They're adding methanol to it. Very dangerous. Not good.
This doctored alcohol contained between 30 and 50% of methanol.
Hmm.
So about 34 people have been poisoned. According to authorities, the majority of the 19 deaths occurred among the homeless and alcoholic individuals. So some of the, if you don't die of this very serious after effects that you face are irreversible total blindness.
Yeah.
To brain lesions that cause tremors similar to Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, don't drink the methyl alcohol, kids.
So it's obviously cheap booze, right?
It's cheap and poisonous booze. It's dangerous. It's not just cheap booze. I mean, like, cane is cheap booze, but you won't die from drinking cane.
Mm.
You'll die from methyl alcohol. You'll go blind.
Leanne, your favorite thing on earth possibly killing you.
Make my own wine.
Yeah.
Your own mampur.
We've spent most of human history trying to make alcohol out of different things. And the one byproduct of that is not good is the methyl alcohol. Stay away from that if you can. If you don't know, check the label. If it doesn't have a label, for God's sake, don't drink it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Costa Rica. Anyway, Tumelo wants to say thank you. He's going to pass on the details of the South African Depression and Anxiety Group to his friend. And thanks for your help. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is the answer potentially to our question about why people take the penis with them when they cut it off.
Mm.
Nutcases. Apparently that's so the doctor cannot reattach it.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember Lorena Bobbitt? Again, that story horrified me when I was in my... like early 20s or late teens, I can't remember when it was, because she cut off her husband's penis and then she threw it out of the window of the car as she was driving past a field. And they found it and they put it back on him.
Yeah, and he became a porn star, didn't he?
Well, I don't know about that.
What?
I don't remember that.
Isn't there someone with a cut off penis that's now a porn star?
I'm not as au fait with this story as you seem to be. What do you know?
And I don't know, maybe I need the birds and the bees re-explained to me, but how do you...
You can reattach it.
Yeah, you can reattach it. It's just a whole bunch of blood vessels. It's nerves.
A cringe thought to have, but what does that feel like?
Especially when you've... The first time you have an erection after that surgery.
And of course, like, I don't eat meat. I don't like meat. But I've once had to cut. I was helping my mom in the kitchen and I had to cut, you know, chicken breasts, you know.
Mm.
You make them into cutlets. And that sensation of ripping through meat.
Stop it. All right. Stop.
Now you're cutting a penis off.
Yeah. That would be very painful if somebody hit me in the balls, especially a horse or a cow or whatever the case might be.
That is so weird because I was about to tell you a story about a man being kicked in the balls by a horse.
No, shut up, Leah.
That is completely bizarre.
Leanne, let's your just listen to that again. Hang history.
On. This came up from out of nowhere, right?
I might do that, yes. That'd be very painful if somebody hit me in the balls, especially a horse or a cow or whatever the case might be.
And here
what are the chances?
Here I have pictures of a man in a Speedo who's being kicked in the groin by a wild horse.
First of all, how is a man in a Speedo near a horse? What's happening there?
Right. It's on the beach. Somewhere in America, and there are wild horses around.
They're running around on the beach.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Assateague Island off the coast of Maryland?
And the dude's just in a Speedo.
Yeah. Apparently there's signs up all over saying don't touch the wild horses.
Yeah.
And he ignored that.
Yeah.
And
he got kicked in the balls.
He got caught on video where he was kicked in the balls. He's standing right behind the horse. And, like, rubbing it on its side.
Dummy.
Yeah, and he fell straight to the ground.
And this looks like quite an elderly gentleman as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he should know
who
better.
Who else wears Speedos?
This is true. But these horses have been roaming the island since the 1600s. And obviously don't like being approached.
No. But, and they've learned to kick right in the balls.
An emphatic hoof in the groin.
What a dodo.
Oh, that's great. All right, very nice. That's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow.
Look, it was time for a lot of stuff this morning. Jesus. We covered a lot of ground.
Yes, I think we did. Got kicked in the balls
and a lot
by
of groin.
Yes. Dealt with depression. Look at us.
Yeah.
Getting everything together for you this morning.
Whale-sized beasts with
That's
hooves.
Right. Yeah, go and check out what Revix are doing. And you can also find out tomorrow about lots of other exciting things that are going on. Just join us at 6 a.m. bright and early. It's a good excuse to wake up.
This is CliffCentral.com.